Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready to talk to listener Sean about his trip to All-Star Music in a family suite. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Today, I thought I would open up my book and read just a little segment of the wisdom of Walt so that you can get an idea of what this book is all about. And I'm going into the chapter called Making a Main Street Impression. And this is about the bank that used to be on Main Street, USA, at Disneyland. It says bank on deposits, not withdrawals. For years, Main Street USA housed the only bank, Bank of America, in the United States, open on Sundays and holidays. Use this as your inspiration for treating every interaction with another individual as a transaction. We make deposits by being positive, easy to work with, and giving our undivided attention. We make withdrawals when we're negative, difficult, and easily distracted by other people or other things we consider obviously more important. Leave people feeling energized from having spent time with you, not exhausted. You can get other great nuggets like this that tie in Walt Disney, Disneyland, and being the best version of yourself you can be. Check out The Wisdom of Walt on Amazon. You can get a soft copy, hardcover, ebook, and audio version, or pick up a personally signed copy. Just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. They're the site to help save you time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. They have trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. If you're looking for a particular room or view at your Walt Disney World resort, they have a great service that you can send in your room request, and I'm telling you, my guests are telling me, they're getting their requests time and time again. Check out these and other great features. Make your next Disney or Universal vacation awesome. Just drop by touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1165 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy May 1st. Can you believe it? We're already in May. I am in my last month of teaching. Not that I'm excited. No, it's going to be a little sad, but a lot of fun here as we wrap up yet another school year. And, start a new week and a new month here on the podcast talking Disney. Of course, it is Trip Report Day, one of my favorite days of the week, so that we can find out what worked and what didn't and relive some of those great memories with our listeners. So joining me today, we have Sean, and I can tell you where Sean's from. He's from the Mitten. That's right. I learned that a few weeks ago from his listener question. How's it going tonight, Sean?
Going great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, glad to have you on the show. And yeah, the Mitten, I didn't know that was a thing, but is it a big thing up in Michigan? I feel like I should have known this.
Yeah, it's a big marketing ploy, and there's lots of merchandise sold with the Mitten on it.
There you go.
And if someone asks you where you're from, you hold up your hand and you point. I'm from right here in the Mitten.
That's awesome, because I heard from my great friend Joe Catroci that's what you do, and my great friends the Gardeners up in Lansing. So now I know. The more you know. So anyway, let's get to the Disney talk. So you stayed at All-Star Music in a family suite, which I have not had the opportunity to do. My sister-in-law has stayed there many times because they have a family with four kids and herself and her husband, and they always enjoyed it there. So let's kind of kick it off there. What'd you think of the family suite, and what's your family dynamic like that you ended up there?
Well, personally, it's just my wife and our 16-year-old daughter, and we let her bring a friend along. So there were four of us, two teenage girls. So one of the keys we were looking for is two bathrooms, so we didn't have to share, and that was the main dynamic. We had stayed at Art of Animation in the past, and just for pricing wise, this was a suite that worked out. Had the fold out beds, the fold out chairs, so everyone got their own bed. The girls had their own bathroom, and it was great. I mean, the great theming, like at all the value resorts. So we've stayed at Pop. We stayed at Art of Animation in the past, and this was our first All-Star experience. And it was just like everything else, Disney, it was great.
So did you find, and I think I'm hearing that you did, but was it worth the extra cost to get that extra bathroom and that extra space, or was it something halfway through the trip you're thinking we might have been able to handle just staying in a standard room over at Pop or even at All-Stars?
It was definitely worth it. We needed that. And I don't think it would have worked out well trying to get four showers, even trying to, all right, you guys take them at night, we'll do it in the morning, that type of thing. I mean, it was great to have two bathrooms with people getting ready and all of them in the morning, and it was definitely needed and worth the price.
All right, so let's talk about the planning of this trip. When did you guys actually go down, and when did you start thinking about this trip, and especially knowing that your daughter got to bring a friend? We did that with Paige years and years ago. What's that like? Because you have to kind of talk to the other parents, and, you know, I'd imagine there's a lot more planning than a typical just family trip.
Exactly. So we were there, actually, it was funny, the exact same week you were there last June. So June of, 2016. It was right after school got out in Michigan. It was the 12th through the 18th. So it was a Sunday to Saturday. So I think you were going down there for a cruise. And but actually the planning had started at the end of, I guess, 2015, when we, in around Christmas time, we were talking to our daughter and we're just laying it out, and we gave her a couple options as far as she's always, you know, being an only child, she's always would like to have someone to hang out with her own age. And she had always asked us if she could bring a friend. And then she's always asked us, can we go to the other park that's, you know, the other park in, yes, Orlando. So we laid it out to her. I kind of priced it out, and I told her, these are the two options. You decide what we do. We're going to go next summer after you get out of school. And it was, we could take a week for just the three of us and do a split between Disney and the other park, or we could do a full week in Disney, add the water park, and you can bring a friend. And it was a no-brainer right like that. She was just like, all right, I'm bringing a friend. And then it was, all right, who are you going to bring? She narrowed that down. And then, like you said, you got to talk to the parents, find out what's going on, what works for their schedule. And it all went together. Really, it was pretty simple. I mean, I'm the planner in our family, so I just put it all together. It was that Sunday, the 19th, was Father's Day. So that was the one thing we wanted to make sure. Our daughter's friend was home in time so she could spend Father's Day with her dad. So that's why we did the Sunday to Saturday. Usually we like to go middle of the week to middle of the week. I mean, it's cheaper for flights out of Michigan. And it just seems to work out well for our schedules if we do like a Tuesday to Wednesday or Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. But with the Father's Day thing in play, we just wanted to make sure we were home by the 18th. But it went together relatively simple once we locked in on the dates, and the parents were cool with it, and the girls were thrilled and spent 6 months planning it.
So let me ask you this, because we do get this question a lot about bringing friends, and it, you know, especially if you have an only child, that's exactly the situation we were in with Paige. You know, she just, as much as she loved being with Pam and I, you know, she wanted to share that experience with somebody else her own age. So we let her bring Molly way back in the day. But I can't remember how we did this. It's, you know, it's been such a long time. You know, they're both in college now, and they were only like 9 or 8. They're probably Mallory's age now. How do you deal with, because at Walt Disney World, a lot of times you're on a package and you're charging stuff back to the room, finances and stuff like that, you know, even before you leave home, how do you kind of divide out, or were you just treating this friend? Because we couldn't afford to do, you know, we had a little bit of we paid for quite a bit for Molly, but how do you go about making sure the expectations are there for what's going to be paid for by who during the trip?
Well, that was part of the budget. I mean, we had a budget for this vacation, and that budget included the flights, the tickets, the meals, and everything for our daughter's friend. So we just told her parents, anything she wants, that souvenir-wise, spending money is all she really had to bring. So, I mean, it was just something that we had been planning on doing. So we had been saving up, and we had X amount ready. And that once I got the flights locked in, and those were cheaper than I thought, we just said, we'll just do the meal plan, the quick service, and just do it all for all four of us.
Good deal. I bet her friend was really excited. I mean, and also your daughter, did they do anything? I could imagine they probably got together and talked about the trip for months and months before and kind of had a good plan once they arrived.
Oh, absolutely. And it was our daughter's friend. It was her first trip. She had never been before. So there were multiple weekends, multiple sleepovers where they're just on the computer watching YouTube videos of rides and this and that and planning it out. And I mean, my daughter's kind of like me, where she'd get the notepad out and she's like planning out day by day. And I'm like, well, you've never been on this ride, so you got to do this, and then we'll do this and get fast pass for this. I mean, I had stacks of paper of suggestions when it came to our days where we could schedule the fast passes. Like, we need to do this and this and this. I mean, and really the girls plan a lot of it, and I just kind of executed everything. But yeah, there were multiple planning sessions on between the two of them.
And that makes it so fun because it makes the experience longer than just the, you know, the week or so that you're down in Central Florida. It kind of, it builds, you know, maybe sometimes you go out to Kohl's or, you know, get an outfit for the trip. I'd imagine that was just a ton of fun seeing your daughter having that experience, because like you said, and even in the email when you contacted me, you're a Disney planner. You love putting stuff together. But when, you know, because Mallory's the same way now. She's turned into like a mini me, which is kind of scary. But then again, you know, you feel kind of proud. You like to see your kids getting into the same stuff you do.
Absolutely.
Cool. So let's talk about your arrival. So you get there, you know, it's time to have some fun. How's the vacation kick off?
Well, our Sunday was a little hectic. It wasn't the perfect start. So I went through and I did the fast passes. So we were going to fly out first thing. It was a direct flight from Grand Rapids down to Orlando. And we were supposed to land by like 10. So I had a fast pass scheduled for Splash Mountain at like 1 o'clock. So we get to the airport, everything checked in. We get on the plane, we're getting ready to go. And all of a sudden we get the announcement. Something technical. It's a Sunday, so there's no mechanics on site. So we got to call someone. He lives like an hour away.
Oh, no.
This and that. So things are getting delayed. And they knew it was so bad that they were letting people get off the plane. So, you know, if they're letting people get off the plane to go to the bathroom, you know, you're going to be there a while. So first thing I'm doing is I'm like, all right, I'm on the Disney app and I'm trying to change fast passes. I don't want to lose Splash Mountain, you know, and that, cause that was one of the keys that, you know, the girls picked out. We got to do this. You know, she's never done this before. So it was kind of a hectic start, but I was able to move I got a late night, Splash Mountain fast pass, which we had never done Splash Mountain, at night in the past. So it was kind of cool to see that, but that was it. We finally rolled in. By the time we got to the Magical Express, got to the hotel, dropped our stuff. We got there right around probably 2 o'clock or so. And we hit the ground running. I had the three fast passes, and this was our first experience with, what do they call it? The rolling fourth, or, you know, where you can just keep adding and adding and adding. And I figured it out when we got back to the hotel that night. We did, between actual rides and meet and greets and this and that, we probably did 20 things I put on my spreadsheet just from 2 to midnight. I mean, it was crazy. It was fast passed. And we warned our daughter's friend that when we do Disney, we do Disney. We go and we try to get as much in as possible. So, I mean, Monday was a little chaotic start, but it turned out great. And, but yeah, I mean, we did Splash Mountain, Space Mountain, Mine Train, Haunted Mansion, Pirates, Jungle Cruise, Little Mermaid. We had dinner at Tony's. I think we did PhilharMagic, Small World, Carousel of Progress. We hit like 4 meet and greets. I mean, we're walking by at night and Anna and Elsa have a 10-minute wait. So we run in there, because that was right at the time too where they were getting ready to transition them to Epcot. So I don't know if that's what caused the lines to be shorter. But I mean, it was a fast pace. It was a furious Sunday, but it was great.
You know, you took a bad situation and made the best of it, but it's, again, it's having the knowledge to know, okay, I got to switch up these fast passes, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, that you can do that and you can kind of save a day where, you know, you're just sitting there on the airplane thinking, I should be on Splash Mountain right now. But again, you had a better or a different experience by seeing it at night. And man, that's a lot of attractions, but it shows how, being proactive. And, you know, I've learned that, you know, after you use those initial three fast passes, kind of like you did, is that keep getting that next one, keep getting that next one. Even as you're waiting in line for the attraction you're getting ready to step on, as soon as you go through that touch point, it's just as good as you've gone on the attraction. Be proactive, pick it, because that way you're riding the attraction and you're actually virtually standing in line for your next experience. So you really took that to the next level, and it sounds like your family had a great time day one.
Yeah, it was great. And then I brought our computer with us. So when we got back to the hotel, I went through our week, and we had, I think, two more days we were scheduled to go back to Magic Kingdom. So I was adjusting those fast passes later in the week because we had already knocked them off the list our first day there. So, I mean, that just having that option as well was great. I mean, there were some things that, well, if you lose this one, you're probably not going to get it back. So we did duplicate a few rides, but I mean, they were great rides. So, you know.
That's right.
Might as well keep them.
Hey, I do Astro Orbiter a bunch of times every trip. I'm kind of hooked on that one. I don't know why. Like, it's just a spinny thing, but
Mallard, I can't do the spinny. So the teacups, I stand on the side and wave when they're doing the teacups and that type of stuff. But that's the one thing I can't do is the spinning.
I don't do the teacups. The teacups will make me sick. I think I have to have like the breeze, you know, the strong wind or something, and the big views. I don't know. I enjoy the Astro Orbiter. Count me out on the teacups with you. I'll be standing next to you. Now, let me ask you this. So you guys were also there. You said as Anna and Elsa were making that transition over to Epcot, you were there when the Royal Summer House started kind of having soft openings or you know, some of the first people to go through there. So what was that like being in a theme park where there's a brand new experience coming online and you're there?
So let me look at my little schedule here. So we did, Tuesday was our full day at Epcot, but we were there that Friday was when, or Thursday was when the new Soarin' premiered. So that was something that was announced after I had already scheduled our fast passes. So like 30 days before we're getting ready to go, I was checking social media and I saw tomorrow new Soarin' fast passes are going online. So I was able to switch that. So that Saturday, our last half day there, we actually went into Epcot for another half day that we didn't really have scheduled, just so we could see the new Soarin'. And as we walked in, we heard they were doing the soft openings over in Norway for the meet and greet. And so, I mean, it was a little chaotic for a half a day park. I mean, actually, we kind of walked right on and right into the meet and greet in Norway because everyone was focused on new Soarin' that had opened the day or two before it. So it was a little crazy that morning, but it was well worth it. We loved the new Soarin', the theming and the buildings in Norway for the meet and greet were phenomenal. I mean, it was the attention to detail they put into those buildings and just the whole experience. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point to bring up, especially today. You know, today's May 1st. We're moving into what maybe we could call it Pandora month, you know, because this is going to be the month of the soft openings of Pandora, and it's supposed to have its official opening at the end of this month. I can't believe it's actually here, but I think people need to kind of keep that in mind. You mentioned that those days where a park has some soft openings or, you know, very first time experiences, even when it's officially open, things are kind of nuts because Disney's finding their way as far as, you know, getting the attraction up to capacity and troubleshooting things that maybe they didn't think about, technical issues. So that's a great point. Even with something like a meet and greet, it can still have some issues. But I mean, especially with something as grand of a scale as Pandora opening up here in the next few weeks, that's a good point. You really got to pack your patience and just cross your fingers and hope you get a great experience while you're there, because a lot of times the wrinkles haven't been worked out exactly yet. It sounds like you kind of saw that, but you still got to see the attractions too.
And actually, it happened on back-to-back days because that Friday was our Hollywood Studios day. And we found out, you know, a month or so before that Friday night was when the new Star Wars Galactic fireworks with the flames and the projections and everything that debuted that day. So we were there that night as well. And just that park was just packed for being what everyone calls a half day park now. I mean, it was just crazy. We spent a whole day there and there were people lining up with their tripods and their video cameras, probably 60 to 90 minutes before the first show, just so they could have that perfect spot. So, I mean, the, you know, that's a smaller, tighter hub area. And with everyone kind of jammed in there with tripods, I actually went and I saved our spot for probably a good hour. Once I saw how full it was going to get, I kind of parked it, and my wife stood there with me for a while. I was on the app. The girls, I got them fast passes. They went on Tower of Terror probably twice, Rock and Roller Coaster. And then as I'm in line, or as I'm sitting there waiting for the fireworks to start, they were doing two Fantasmic, one before and one after the fireworks. So I got a fast pass for Fantasmic. So we did the Star Wars, and then we just all kind of shuffled over to Fantasmic with our fast pass and just kind of ended the night there while everyone cleared out after the fireworks. So, I mean, it was kind of that's how our vacation ended, was Hollywood Studios and then a half day at Epcot, where it was the fireworks and the new Soarin'. So it was crazy. I mean, it was more relaxed in the middle of the trip, and it was a little more hectic on the end, but it was perfect timing, and we're glad we were there for both of those experiences.
Yeah, I remember I was actually there that night when the Star Wars fireworks premiered too. I was in the middle of Hollywood there. It was a nut house. And you're right.
It was.
Again, another thing that you need to remember with Pandora coming online here soon too, is if you're heading down to Animal Kingdom, you're going to see tons of bloggers and vloggers and people in social media, which isn't a bad thing, I'm just saying, but you're going to see a lot of cameras and a lot of people kind of jockeying to get a great spot to get the coverage, which we all crave seeing on YouTube. Somebody's got to get that content. So just be kind to each other over the next month in Pandora. Everybody's just trying to do the best they can. You know, I know that you know, people have strong opinions on that, but I enjoy the content. But again, I don't want my view hampered by somebody that's got, you know, some gigantic camera, and I don't want to watch the show through a viewfinder either. So I'm kind of, you know, positives and negatives on this. And you mentioned that, so I think it's a good thing to bring up today.
Yeah, and they had, you saw it, they had crosswalks taped off on the ground, so it wasn't just a big cluster of people. And so those were kind of the prime spots, right on the first ones on the tape, so people knew there when the show started, there'd be nobody in front of them. So, I mean, Disney knows how to do this, and you know, they had it planned out, so there was still areas for walking traffic to get through there.
All right, so let's step outside the parks, let's talk dining here for a second, because you mentioned that you guys were on quick service dining, and your daughter's friend or your daughter is not a very adventurous eater. Been there, done that. So how did dining work out for your family for this entire trip?
Being on the quick service is what we kind of have done in the past, and there's just a lot of options, and it seems like it's a safer meal when you get into the table service and some of the signature dining. That's when there's the more, and I'm not the most adventurous eater, but I can usually find something on the menu. So I mean, we did have they like Chinese food and sushi and stuff like that. So at Epcot, we just kind of let them do their thing. We all kind of did our own, so there was a lot of sushi there. Animal Kingdom, we hit Yak and Yeti. We did the dinner at Tony's. We did a lunch at Be Our Guest one of our other days at Magic Kingdom, and that was our first experience there. So, I mean, we did throw in some table service. We had a half a day down at Disney Springs, and we ended up we were inexperienced. That was one thing I learned. We going to Disney Springs on a Monday, I was worried that we would need a ADR. So we let the girls look at the menus online, and they picked Paradiso 37. And so we did a ADR there, and it wasn't that busy at all. After eating there and wandering around, we probably found five or six other restaurants. Like, oh, we should have ate here, but we just didn't know. We probably could have just canceled the ADR and ate somewhere else, but I was worried about getting charged whatever it is, $10 per person if you cancel it within 24 hours and just winging it. So we just kind of stuck with that reservation. And then we just, Epcot, like I said, we just kind of ate our way around World Showcase. And, you know, at Hollywood Studios, there's not a lot of choices. I think we ate at Backlot Express. We did Columbia Harbor House for the first time. I mean, that was really good food there. It's a safe menu usually when you're on most of the quick service places, or you can find something that everyone can enjoy. So, I mean, we use it most of the time when we go, and we'll throw in a couple table service now and then, but we love the quick service dining plan.
That's a good way to think about it. You know, almost like a base, you know, like this has our base dining covered with the quick service and we're going to supplement it with a table service here and there. I like that strategy. Now, you know what? You said you kind of regret it. It sounds like going to Paradiso 37, just because I think in Disney Springs, there's a lot more flashier places to eat, you know, maybe a Morimoto's or, you know, a Boathouse or something like that. But I've always been curious. I've never eaten there. I've always been curious that the menu looks like it's right up my alley for Paradiso 37. So quick review. I mean, what was the food okay? What did you think of the place, even though you kind of wanted to go somewhere else?
I mean, it was good food, but, you know, it's kind of Tex-Mex-y a little bit, which we enjoy. But when you're on vacation, you want kind of want something else, something you don't have at home. And that's the reason we regretted it. I mean, it wasn't a bad experience there, but it was just like, we kind of wasted a meal. So that was the only reason for saying that. It was still a good restaurant. It's a good view too. It's right on the water.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's exactly what you just said. Like, even if it's a decent meal, you're just like, oh, I only get so many meals on my Walt Disney World vacation, and there's so many cool experiences when it comes to dining that you're just like, I just missed one. Even, and I totally feel what you're saying. Like, the food can be fine, but you're thinking, could have been Boathouse, or you know, could have been something else. And I think you just have to let that go. But yeah, I got to teach myself that.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause you know, especially when you've got the quick service, so we're going off our dining plan specifically for this meal. We kind of should have went a little higher and raised the bar a little bit better.
Ah, well, you live and learn. You know what? It was an experience.
Exactly.
That's right.
Next time.
Totally. And Tex-Mex, I could do Tex-Mex every day. You know me. So real quick, though, did you guys do anything outside of the four major theme parks? You mentioned maybe going to the water parks. You guys do that?
We did do one day at Typhoon Lagoon, and that was great. I mean, having two 16-year-olds kind of split up and meet back. We're going to have lunch, and we got there right when they opened, found four chairs, threw our blankets on them, and kind of just hung out for the day. And, you know, that afternoon shower pops up, all right, let's get up and get out of here. But we were there from probably 9:30 till 2:30. It was great. We went back to the hotel, washed up, and then did a few hours at Magic Kingdom. That was our first experience at Typhoon Lagoon. And we had gone to Blizzard Beach when our daughter was younger, when it was just the three of us. And I mean, that we can just comparing the two, it seems like Blizzard Beach is more geared towards maybe a little younger kids, and Typhoon Lagoon with the big wave pool and the water slides is more teen and older. So, I mean, and that was one thing we let the girls pick. You can go online and research the rides all you want. We're going to a water park this day. You pick. And they picked Typhoon Lagoon, which was perfect.
Yeah, that's my favorite of the two. And, you know, Typhoon Lagoon, it has just an amazing wave pool. Like you said, it's got a really nice lazy river if you just want to chill out and kind of go in the park.
Yep.
It's because it's tropical. It's got like lots of palm trees, and it's got, you know, shady spots, which I'm a fan of. I don't feel like getting scorched all the time when I'm in Florida. Really fun slides, you know, maybe not Summit Plummet, but it has decently scary slides, and you know, the racers, but now they also have Misadventure Falls. They have a whole new attraction there along with Crush and Gusher. So I think that Typhoon Lagoon has definitely surpassed Blizzard Beach going into this summer. So just a tip. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I don't know what everybody else will think, but I think it has. I love that. You know what? You know, it's summers, you know, we're going to be here at the end of the month. It'll be summertime. And, you know, I've never gone to one of the Disney theme parks and regretted it. And I think you did it just right. You know, get there when it opens in the morning, hop out, you know, mid-afternoon, and, you know, go back and rest or take a shower and then make an evening of it either at Disney Springs or one of the theme parks. I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, it was. It was a perfect week. We brought ponchos every day except for one, and that was the one day it rained. So maybe we did it to ourselves, but I had my little string backpack and I threw four ponchos in there, and it never rained until the one day that was that half day that when after Typhoon Lagoon, and I was like, I forgot the ponchos, it better not rain. And soon as we're running back to Columbia Harbor House through a rainstorm, hiding under stuff, trying not to get soaked.
That's so, the reason to wear.
Note to self: bring the ponchos every day, and it will never rain.
That's what I was gonna say. That's the whole trick. You just bring those ponchos, carry them around. It'll never. You won't have a cloud in the sky. I've been in that circumstance myself. Now let me ask you this too about. Okay, so you had 16-year-old girls. So, you know, pretty independent at that age, obviously, you know, they can handle themselves. Did you guys stay together as far as touring the parks for the week, or did you break up for, how did you handle, like, you know, when you're together, when you're apart, how'd that work for the most part for the week?
Most of the time we stayed together. There were a couple times at, one day at Magic Kingdom, my wife and I just wanted to do a little monorail tour of the hotels. So we just told the girls, hang out. They know how to do the fast passes. So they probably spent two and a half hours at the parks by themselves and just wandering around. And then we just kind of did contemporary Polynesian Grand Floridian and just did a nice lazy tour on the monorail. And we met up for dinner later that night. And then kind of the same thing when we were at our full day at Epcot with World Showcase. It's like they knew how to work their magic bands with the meal plan. And it's like, all right, you know, we got a fast pass in a couple hours. Do what you want. We did add Memory Maker. So we told the girls, anytime you see a photo pass photographer, you know, get your picture taken, them, have them scan it. And I mean, we came back with hundreds of them. And a lot of times it was like, oh, so this is what you did for those 2 hours. They kind of just bounced around from photo pass photographer.
You kind of keep up with them that way. Just look on the
app.
Yeah, hey,
it was nice having them at that age where you could trust them to kind of go off and you could text them and say, all right, we're heading back. We'll meet you there in 20 minutes outside of Peter Pan or something like that. And it worked out great. I mean, they were great girls.
I like to ask this too, for folks that do get the Memory Maker. Did you do anything with those images when you got home, especially considering, you know, your friend probably wanted to share this experience with her parents and her family when she got home. Did you put together like a slideshow or create a book, or did you do anything with those images?
Absolutely. We have a little spare room in our basement that has kind of turned into our Disney room. So we usually put together a 16 by 20 collage every trip that we go and then hang them up there. So we did the collage, and then our daughter actually put together a book and got a couple of printed. And so we have one for our house. And then she gave one to her friend as kind of just a little present. But yeah, it was great. You can add the stickers and the frames and everything. So, I mean, she probably spent, you know, a couple hours making sure the book was perfect before she actually printed it.
Yeah.
And just to save money too. I mean, because when you buy Memory Maker, this was our first time buying it, and you download all the pictures and then you can go on. We just did it through Walgreens. I mean, we printed a $10 book where, you know, you buy a book of all the pictures through Disney, who knows how much, you know, that's going to cost you.
Yeah, it's not
so that was our little money saver. When we looked at the price and it's like, oh, you can make a book for 10 bucks. All right, go ahead and make two of them. We'll keep one and you can give one to your friend. And so she went all in on that.
That's
great
too.
A lot of time creating that book.
And you know what? It's great to have the picture. I mean, the digital images are awesome to have because they're easily shared, you know, to friends and family here and there. But there's something to, like you said, making a collage and having some physical prints that, you know, when you're walking past the wall, you can remember that trip. Because I did that for one of our first trips that Paige and Pam and I took years ago when Hurricane Charlie hit. We have a collage in our living room. And, you know, every time I see that and I walk by and I see, you know, Paige was, you know, so small, it just makes me happy, because as much as digital images are great and all, having those physical pictures where you get to see them, you know, daily or weekly, there's something to be said for that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing when I go downstairs and I look at all our collage and I look at that first one when our daughter was six. And I just think of how the vacations have changed from the princess breakfast, and you spend all day just with the autograph books, bouncing around, trying to get the pictures with the princesses and the autographs. And now it's, you know, as she's grown up, our vacations have changed, but you have those pictures of, you know, her and Cinderella or Belle at the Norway breakfast. I mean, yeah, just that seeing that progression all in one spot is great.
All right. So as we wrap up the show, here's the big question. And, you know, it's been 9 to 10 months since the trip. Looking back on this trip, is there one particular memory or special thing that you remember that happened during this trip? Because I typically have like one or two things that happen and it's like, oh, that's the thing from this trip. So is there anything, you know, for this trip with your daughter's friend that you'll always remember from this one?
I just remember it as a week of first. I mean, her first trip overall, seeing the new Soarin', I mean, which is my wife's favorite attraction, and seeing her, and when she walked off that, you know, Saturday morning, she's like, wow, Disney, you're amazing. I'm the Star Wars geek in our family, so seeing the Star Wars fireworks on Friday night, and, you know, so it was, and so, yeah, just a week of first is how I kind of remember it.
All right. Well, sounds great, Sean. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show, sharing your trip with us, and we'll have to meet up next time we're down there at the same time. We'll have to make it happen, but thanks for coming on the show today.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. So it is almost summer and you need a good book. I honestly have a hammock in my backyard. I don't have a big backyard, but I have a hammock and I have a copy of the Wisdom of Walt, and I can guarantee you, probably before summer hits, I'll be out in that hammock rereading The Wisdom of Walt to get fired up for my career transition, because honestly, this book got me so fired up for life and chasing down dreams that had a lot to do with it. Pick up your copy. Just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Get fired up. Get a little Disney connection. Connect to Walt. Connect to Disneyland and make you a better person. Just make you just fired up for life. So check it out. Thewisdomofwalt.com. Also, don't forget, we're brought to you by touringplans.com. Stay out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. You need to pick up your premium subscription. It'll give you access to Lines, which is the mobile app, which again gives you the information you need to steer clear of the crowd. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Please do continue to support the show through our Amazon affiliate link. Just anytime you go to buy anything on Amazon, just drop by brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It'll take you right to the store. We get a little kickback from Amazon. It helps support everything we do. It costs you nothing extra. Again, so bookmark it on your desktop computer, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Please do support the show that way. And also, don't forget, you can give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we have a great Facebook page with over 5,000 fans of the show talking Disney every day. Drop on by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out here and let you get on with your week. Let you get on with the month of May. It's going to be a great one. Just tell yourself that it's going to be an amazing month, and it's a great time of the year. So thank you so much for dropping in, downloading the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. So for Sean, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.